Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Podomation update number 10. There have been 9 previous Podomation updates, and you might ask why you're hearing it on a science channel. Of course, what I'm doing is automating podcasting and automating the broadcasting of it and integrating it with some maths and binding podcasts together in novel ways. And obviously that can't happen overnight. And as I go along, I come against some hurdles, get some advances. Things happen in sort of a researchy sort of way, in a non-linear way, where you have problems, you kick them down the road a bit and you see how they come together. And so over the time, you would have heard me develop from podcasting in the phone, podcasting in different dictaphones, improving that, converting the dictaphone stuff into different MP3s, struggling to get that together with some music, struggling to get that out on iTunes through Blogger, and getting an RSS feed and eventually a classic feed, so a podcast by itself is a thing. It's an audio file, but you have to actually structure that inside a container, which is a feed. It's got to be in a blog, and the blog, or something that produces an RSS feed. Now, the interesting thing is that it's going to be probably easier for me, rather than to deal with the intermediate step of going to a blog, to actually create a RSS feed. And in order to do that, I've got to have the actual components of the RSS feed, having the components of the blog that I have down the track. So what I've been doing is, as it's built, the blog, I've got it to, well, yes, the blog entry, I've got it to build a quiz and a word search and an MP3 file. And what's happened recently is that I've attached this into a new space, which is supposed to go parallel to RSS feeds, and that's in a blog app. So all these blogs, you won't have them all, are in a an app, and we'll describe that a bit later on. When I say that you won't have it all, obviously, as I've worked here, I've looked at how to do the app and what the app should be, and so the app is sort of switched on, like an adolescent mind coming on. And so some of the childhood memories, some of the earlier blogs aren't in the app, and I could, sort of looking at historic, a program to go to the web page and pull up the web pages and construct an app. Now, unlike a human author of an app, these apps are authored by basically robot, or, yeah, essentially robots. They're robot codes, they operate computers, but they actually don't automate parts, actually automate the construction of it. So, at the moment there's an app for all my podcasts. There's 130, buttons in this app that you can press. And, it's based on, an interesting type of maths, which is sort of, brings the internet theory, which is external to apps, inside the app, in as much that each component of the app, each component of the thing on the internet, has its own sort of new IP address associated with its structure within the web page. It's a bit hard to understand, but this is by a little branch of mathematics that I've worked on. And I think people get confused between thinking whether something is new and it's necessarily great. It is definitely new. It hasn't been thought of before. And this is the corrugated numbers. Is it great? Well, in certain applications, it is definitely great. It's definitely a benefit. It's not a panacea to do all things. It's not a magic number which magically solves things, as in a Disney movie. But it's like a workhorse, so you could say if you've discovered logarithms and you're looking for absorption, that's a great way of using it, because it means that you can understand the absorption of light through a pond using logarithmic numbers. So if I double the depth, I just multiply the actual log of the absorption by 2, and it gets you the amount of light coming across. So if there's only 10% by absorption of light getting through 1 meter, by 2 meters there's only be 1%. It's that method, that's the idea of logs. Similarly to this level of mathematics, allows you to actually put basic IP addresses in front of ideas, and then with that, the computer can actually, if you tell it, you know, this idea is associated with that one, and is associated with that one, it can actually go out and construct the app. And so what happens at the moment is that as I produce each podcast, it creates a sort of fairly light text file, sort of a spreadsheet file, updates a spreadsheet, and it reads free text, retrieves spreadsheet, selects certain lines out of the spreadsheet, you highlight it, much like you pick toppings on pizza that you want to put in, you top it, it goes up there, and it will go through and add those podcasts underneath a certain topic. So you click on your app that you have on your in your computer that reports its URL, which is the Uniform Resource Locator. That URL, it decodes that one, and then automatically adds new pages or new buttons underneath it, and also adds it to the right of it. So you have to the right of the MP4 file, you have a little button saying MP3. If you press on MP3, you'll see a large speak in the word MP3. If you are able to, you can click on it and actually will play the MP3 in your browser, or if you want to download it, you just press save as, right click onto that speaker and press save as, you can save your podcast. Now, this is a barrier, so to speak, in that it's, on one aspect, it's a breakthrough in terms of I can do a lot more easily, so I'm not having to actually work through depreciated assets that Google's no longer caring for, say like Blogger and Feedburner, which is about to die. And I just must admit, I went through Feedburner. I hit the 1 megabyte feed limit. It sort of complained about it, even though it didn't appear to be 1 megabyte, having a fear, but I had to cut that back. Then I thought, right, look, I'll cut back such that I don't have to put in the, it's a rather annoying thing that if I want to announce a feed, I have to actually produce it up here. That's just giving me a thought, because there's a discovery mechanism of a new feed anyway. So if if it's an old feed, it sort of gets a profile. I think new feeds get up, so I might create a new feed with it and just watch the two feeds compete. So what happens is I put a tag in there, so it cleans up my blog. So I used to have some blog pages where I put up some teaching resources, some word puzzles and stuff like that, and what I've done instead is begun podcasting. So essentially all the last 500 blogs in there have been podcast blogs. So I've laboriously had to go in to Blogger and actually put in a tag. So Blogger's sort of like the dumb version, a free dumb version of WordPress. WordPress is there, but it's pretty sneaky. It looks free, and then when it finally goes up, it goes, hey, song and dance WordPress at the page. So that sort of distracts your viewer to what they're getting at. Similar to Google pages. You can do the Google websites. You can do Google websites. And there's sort of a three-prong approach. There's the organic growth approach, which is due to traditional feeds. That's the way traditionally people get podcasts. There's the advanced users, which all they have to do is, well, I suppose they just have to not download an app, they just have to link to an app, because it's a web app, link to an app, and they can instantly get the latest apps. It's not intelligent. You have to say, look, be interested in what's there. I suppose I should have a thing where it says, it just puts up the latest couple of apps. You can actually click and see the latest couple of apps. Then if you want to, you have to dive down. So at the moment you have to dive down into this app. You can go, this is an introduction to myself, a few of the documentaries about me. You can go down and see some of my artworks. That's the first tile. The next tile down is podcasts. The podcasts are broken up into books, magazines, topics. And I don't know what I'm going to do this next podcast about. So far I haven't actually bothered to include diary notes, like basically diary notes, the podcasts in it. And so you can go into it and click onto it. So that's advanced users. So there's organic discovery, advanced users, and then there's what I call sort of, the advanced users, the vanguard, people with you at the moment on the internet are the feed, people who discover these things through threads. And then there's people in the back thing who are skeptics and, have a very high standard of stuff. And so what they need is, because when they're going to see something, they're going to immediately jump to the side and ask, can you provide this information? Can you provide that information? They'll tend to jump aside. Now, this is, I think, probably a new phenomenon. The people insisting on a form of information, which I've retrospectively thought, oh look, this is a website. So I've begun to produce a website. And so as you can imagine, moving forward in all these different dimensions, you see what naturally works. So the feed burner has sort of naturally worked, sort of naturally picked up an audience without doing it. In the advanced app version, that hasn't actually got too many users of it, but it has naturally worked in terms in another dimension that it suits a more strategic long-range concept behind podcasts and automations and robots and stuff like that. So that's got a natural thing. The rear guard action, which is the use of a web page, putting everything together in a web page, is probably a good resource for when you're teaching students. You have your lesson there. So I have a lesson on ethics. I can send it off to an ethicist and they can look at this page and say, look, oh, that's a good page. They can't see the rear guard people don't look at, aren't interested. They're not in discovery mode, like the people who are with you. They're not in the advanced guard. It's not, no, I suppose I'm in an advanced guard. The rear guard people really just want an instant resource. They don't want to think too much. And they want to analyse the resource as it is. But the web page is, I think, really suffering. Because I do have people I speak to, and I just put it out there. And so what's happening is that I will decide, on a certain thing, on a certain communication strategy, and I will try one or two people go across and work out. I'll say it's for a short thing, and 99% of the time I don't get a response. So in the course of podcasting, I came across a new molecule, which is very fascinating. It was basically a bacteria was building a semiconductor, and it's is an iron sulfide semiconductor, quantum dot semiconductor. That's what it is. And so as a scientist, you contact other scientists and you say, look, here's this new piece of info. I'm outside your scientific community. I've been cast out into teaching and stuff like that. Nonetheless, and I've got this circuitous route where I'm doing rehab. I'm learning things across and I'm churning through, and I haven't really had a chance to explain things that... having the blank mind, reloading the back blank mind again, where I can say, oh, Jesus, I was misguided here. Oh, that's wrong. So you get some improvements. There are some areas you're saying, not coming back yet. There's certain areas of maths I still can't can't do. There's certain areas of knowledge which I knew in a different way. So at the moment I'm, say, learning the periodic table by absolutely brute force, where previously I would just naturally have a, you know, read, and you just, it would just automatically go in. I sort of, you know, people would, you know, I want you to do a word association, and what would happen is that, say, if you said two elements, I'd say the next third element without really thinking. Now I have to really struggle. So there's no point mourning this type of stuff. It's just the way it is. And the bottom line is, although the intermediate steps are not going to get me there, the long-term steps of advancing across will mean that when I finally meet up to where I'm supposed to be, I'll have this strong structure behind me. Whereas if I do no rehab, no work, and just sort of put my hand out for help, which is not coming along, I won't get there. So it seems to be a long-term strategy. What happens is that I put out signs for help, and sometimes I get them. So, say I did a job application for a professorship and got some excellent help, and in order to crack that one, we had some really complex selection criteria, and I had developed an analysis technique earlier to analyse these complex HSC questions, which were just really badly structured, and it's called reverse order synthetic answers. So I would read the criteria in reverse order and synthesise the answer to it to completely capture it. Of course, it took a lot of massaging and a lot of structuring to actually develop it. I merged with my brother's markup language for legal documents that he's working at, and so we produced what was technically a very good document, but it wasn't marketable. The people just ignored the application completely, holds balls. And just as well, so during the interview, sort of the day after the interview dates, I was going into surgery, so the purpose of that was an exploration, a scientific exploration of that communication space that does this analysis technique applied to this fuzzy area. It produces something which is workable by a team, but it doesn't go that next step. And I think that's very much what's happening here, is that the computer techniques to hold the podcasts and bind everything together is becoming increasingly sophisticated. Well, not sophisticated, like, essentially I've been able to cut down the MP3 files. That's, you know, a big tick, being able to get the MP3 files together with a tick, and just sort of bumbling along, I've worked out basically how it only takes, say, to produce a website, a fully integrated website of, you know, 130 pages. I'll go up to, I think it'll start to suffer around 600 web pages. So this is a website with this number of pages, and they're all interlinked. And the only access to the website is through the sitemap. So the sitemap is a kind of a tree diagram. So with 600 items, that would be completely overwhelming. So you only just see items relevant to your line of thought through it. So it's like a truncated tree map. Now, captured somewhere in there is a memory leak. So if I leave the program on, sitting on for a while, and so I come back after 3 hours and ask it to build a website, just say publish to the web. There's a little button, press drop down, publish to the web, goes away. And what happens is it's still alive there. In the background, it's publishing to the web. There's nothing. It doesn't stop you, but it will take, what is it, probably 10 minutes to write that. Whereas it's taking under a minute at the moment to do it. So that's just, and because everything is crash proof, I just switch the program on, and switch it on and switch it off. It's like this awful thing. Now, I don't think you can't see where the memory leak is. Like, you look at the memory sizes, there's nothing happening to the memory sizes, but evidently as it's going through, there's some register which is going up somewhere, going along, and so that's the program. So just to give you an idea of this one program, which takes a database file and produces a interlocked web page, which is a sort of a book of all the websites. There's obviously programs which take your podcast and publish it to the internet. But then when it does that, it leaves a little trace, and that trace of what the podcast is about and the name, the title, locations, everything, all the things you want to an app to do. And then it takes that. There's another program indeed, which just takes that and actually builds up the database. And that's been a very, I would have thought that would have taken me a couple of months, but it hasn't. But it's it's got a few extra steps in it, in terms that it prints a draft app. I've sort of got the draft app now. Printing the draft app is much faster. The upload to the internet is very, very slow. 600 pages or this one, 130 pages up to the internet. And the way it does it is that it does a lot of redundant stuff. It doesn't point to a style sheet every time it puts out the same style sheet and stuff like that. That's simply because I'm in development mode. So I have a website up, and say if I want to change the style sheet, I will have all the legacy documents looking at the style sheet. So what I do is I have the complete, as it is, sort of 2017 website goes up. And now that I have to go to 2018, the new website points to new assets, so I don't have to worry about it. But I really haven't done that. I've just sort of looked at it. And allowed, just got used to error trapping them. And so that's producing, so the programs are producing automatically into the parallel stuff, which is the standard feeds, which most of you are probably listening on. And it's also automatically producing these advanced apps. Now, what's the advantage of that? Well, typically if I was to do that, it would take me days to produce an app. So if I was going to sit down and produce an app, it would take me days to produce it. I would be tempted to vary the style and think about it, but this is the same style that everything approached to. And I just have to walk people across to look at it, not push them. Just say, have a look at this, feedback if it works to you. And if it does work, there are some people already for which it's working to, so that's a very natural thing, and then build it like an ecosystem around that, and work out how that goes. So, defensively, I've looked at different structures. Defensively, I've got to get these web pages which produce the entire lessons, and that people who are unsympathetic to the strategy are more content focused. So there, I suppose you can, I sort of liken it to driving to a distant inland city in Australia, or you drive from Sydney to Adelaide. Now, you arrive, and people, can be cognizant of the fact that you've gone on a journey, you're in a journey, and you're doing a strategic mission, or they can say, you've arrived in Adelaide. Where's my prezzies? Bring some presents. Do you bring some wine with you? And look, your car's absolutely crap. What's happened to it? And so that they sit at that different level. And so you really need to pretty up your car. So I really see the car stuff that the people who are not on the... So you've got different ranks of people. You've got people who do not understand blogs, do not understand feeds, and they're interested. There are pieces of paper. People look at a piece of paper, they look at it, and they're very short-term people. And you can't ignore them. You have to produce the web page for it. You've got the web stuff, and so I've just got to have a disciplined time to produce blogs for the feeds, and I produce sufficient number of blogs of the same format to produce the stuff, the feed stock. The feed, so the actual blogs are feedstock for the programs that then pick them up and put them in the applications. And so hopefully there will be this slow migration that I can actually migrate some people in the feed standard podcast audience into the app audience. And it actually doesn't require a large number of people. Once the people understand the apps, then the next quality of the apps, so the apps have the ability to monitor things, give you an SMS if something doesn't go wrong. It can actually sell you components, you can advertise on it. There's a huge economy of apps sitting out there. Now, when I say that as a researcher, as a scientist, I don't know, look, I'll pick up a soil sample or something like that, and look, there's this chemical in the soil. Now, what happens is that the people go, oh, that's not my property, or, oh, I didn't do that, or, whatever. And as scientists, you're just saying, mate, it's in there. I don't know, the equipment could be bad, I know I'm not corrupt, but the equipment could be bad, or would you like me to do another sample? No, oh, well, I'm going to do another sample anyway. There's all this push because they're not seeing the overall structure of your interaction as a research scientist approaching a problem in a sort of fairly systematic, agnostic way. Like, this is one of the things why I could talk so long. I really don't know what the future is. So what's happened is, you basically just have to put a database code together based on some information, and then that same information can be restructured to put so the MP4 a little bit of restructuring, it does the MP3, a little bit of restructuring, it does the it points to the word resource, all that, the effort has already been put, that's already been put up on the internet and crafted and pushed up there. That's there, and so all I've done is I've actually systematized that, put that in a do loop, basically, and it do loops through a table, and it says, the table says, basically, it feeds the table, it says, what level of app do you want me to add here? So it's 1, 2, 3, 4. What's the script on the app? So it's the MP3 quiz for QZ, a word search. I suppose I should put WS there. And then where is it? Oh, no, it doesn't even go that. It can actually work that out from the information in... and then a picture, you know, what's the picture you want to put up there? And the pictures, it turns out to be important because you have to, if you want to download the MP3, you have to put your mouse over the picture. I don't know why you can't put your mouse over the tile and download it, because it's not recognized as an asset like that. Put your mouse over the picture, say, press save link as into your iPod, whatever it is, puts it down. Perhaps it's not as usual to go through there. So that amount of step is something which meant that what I thought would be several months was done. What was it? Oh, couldn't have been done yesterday. Probably the day before, just before breakfast. Put it across, and of course you've got your standard things. I wasn't doing the picture because there was a space in front of the URL for the internal URL for the picture. So what happens is that these podcast assets, as pointing there, didn't put up the space for it. I'm just trying to think of some other things. Oh yeah, I really can't remember. It did some sort of crazy stuff and wrecked the apps. So I had to look at that, but fortunately, I sort of developed it in a sandbox place, so if it wrecked the app, it's the next, a wrecked app, producing some real crazy stuff, and then that's it, just came across. So that's the direction of apps as they are developing, and I'm going to close that off and basically start to deploy sideways. So I've got my cousin who's dealing with a whole new raft of government regulations coming in, and I've got a podcast, some relevant information for him, actually talk through it and deploy the apps for him and the support network that I've built up in terms of people looking at it and help him actually achieve what he wants to do. And just the overall ecosystem of people not responding to quick political situations, bullying situations, the more long-term rehabilitation, which I basically have had to do this really long, hard months and months of slog, and actually not be frightened by the fact that people are not on your side. Can you do? People are not on your side to help you get back to work. You're still going to have to get back to work, so you just can't pack it up and, well, you can't pack up a mola and die. The medical people have ensured that you're not dead. So that's the situation. Again, quick summary of where we're up to. Since the last podcast, there's now web pages for it. The web pages, the feeds reached a sort of equilibrium where it's beginning to burst a little bit, and I don't have access to the feed community to help me beyond. And so there seems to be things where I can pay $14 a month or something like that to get someone to sell me a feed. But, you know, what is going on there? Can they guarantee it? Is that good value for money? I've sort of really run out of, I've got opportunity discovery, but no links or people to help me on that. And then, moving into the advance, I've got the apps. And the apps are sort of just naturally working. And they would, because I've just, you know, over the months going, I think I'll just put it's like you're planting your crop. You'd say, well, I'm going to plant beans in the bottom paddock because that paddock floods. And so, you know, your knowledge of the basic, and there's, and, you know, I can shoo the kangaroos away from that paddock. So you make these general things and you have this strategy, and then it looks, people come up and say, ah, that was a good idea. And it's not a really big, strong idea that you've designed your way forward. It's just that general knowledge to come forward. So you get some benefit of it. That's sort of like it's no big ticket. That's just the benefit of experience when you're going through. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.